Welcome to Knowles Abroad, a podcast by Florida State University International Programs. I'm Vanessa.
And I'm Zoe, and we're your hosts. On this podcast, we'll talk about study abroad from the perspective of the students, faculty, staff, and alumni who make it an experience worth sharing. We'll also bring you travel tips and fun facts from around the globe. On today's episode, we interview our very own Hannah Marchbanks. For those of you who are frequent listeners, you know that Hannah and I have been hosting this podcast from the beginning. Vanessa will now be taking on the role of hosting with me, and we're excited for this new chapter. Hannah talks about her study abroad experience, her role as marketing director at IP, and how student success is at the center of what we do. Let's go to our conversation with Hannah now. Hi, Hannah. How's it going?
Hello. Good. How are you?
Good. We're super excited to sort of flip things around and interview you today on the podcast. So our listeners would know you obviously as one of our podcast hosts, as we've heard you talk about your study abroad experience and working for IP. But can you just remind everyone where you studied abroad and what program you did, and then also what role you've had with IP professionally?
Absolutely. It is so fun to be on this side of the podcast today. But as a reminder for everyone, my name is Hannah. I recently got married, so my name has changed. I'm no longer Hannah Meister. I'm now Hannah Marchbanks. But I studied abroad with FSU as part of my master's program at Florida State. I did the London Insights of Higher Education program during the summer between the first and second year of my program. And my time with IP, I started out as the event coordinator after such a positive experience studying abroad. And I just went for it and applied and started out my career with IP there. And then a little over a year ago, I guess, I was given the opportunity to become the director of marketing. So that's what I've done with IP.
Wow. So you've really, you've moved up. You've made your mark.
It's been a fun ride, that's for sure.
Would you talk about how your study abroad experience influenced the type of work you wanted to do in higher ed?
Absolutely. So working in international education was not something I ever would have considered if not for my study abroad experience. Honestly, studying abroad was not really something I had heard of before I got to grad school. In undergrad, I was just really involved in a lot of other things, and I didn't really know anyone that had studied abroad until after I graduated. So after having had that experience, I realized, international education is super cool. This is something that I could see myself working in. And so I think through my study abroad experience, I got such a well-rounded view of higher education. We did a comparative study of some higher ed institutions in the state of Florida and then compared them to the institutions we got to visit while we were in England. And I just really appreciated having that experience, that well-rounded view of this field that I was dedicating 2 years of my life to studying, to getting a master's degree in. And I think that experience just really helped me see the value of higher ed and the global value of higher ed, that it wasn't just an American thing or it wasn't just an English thing. Like it was, I just really liked seeing how all of these things interacted and how you could have this global experience while still focusing on education. So I think that obviously really influenced the start of my career getting into international education. And I think the other really interesting thing about my experience with IP is having studied in London and having had lectures with Dr. Paul and having had her as kind of like a professor for the day kind of thing. And now like I had a meeting with Kathleen yesterday, and it's just really fun to like have had that experience of getting to study with these people and now getting to call them a colleague and a friend. It's just not something I think I would have ever considered if not for my study abroad experience.
What were some of those specific crossovers you saw from like institutions overseas and those in the US?
Yeah, so I honestly was shocked at how similar they were. I don't know what I was expecting in terms of differences, but there were so many similarities. There certainly were some differences, but there were so many similarities. And my particular project, so we kind of broke into groups for our practicum trip is what it was called. And so my particular group was focused on studying student wellness and how student wellness is approached in the United States and then in England and kind of comparing and contrasting. And it was really interesting to see the different approaches, yet the same kind of like heart of the matter. Like at the end of the day, people just cared about student wellness and they wanted students to be well and they wanted students to be successful and they wanted students to have the resources and the support to get their education as the most well person that they could be. So there were different approaches to that. I mean, we saw some institutions focused more on physical wellness and having really robust like intramural programs and like campus recreation type things. Other institutions focused way more on the mental health, and they had a lot of like campaigns around mental health or different resources on campus for mental health. So it was interesting to see how people kind of approach them from different like different types of wellness, but that at the end of the day, it was about students being well. I think that was one of the coolest things that I got to experience in both the US and in England.
That's really cool. I'm sure that you took some of those aspects as well, like working with students in your marketing role. And so I think, you know, and just caring about student wellness and student success. So that's really neat that you got to study that.
Absolutely.
So you talked about this a little bit, but what kind of insights from studying abroad did you bring with you into your marketing role?
I think one that we haven't touched on quite yet, but that is huge, is flexibility. I think that we've talked about that or heard about that a lot on the podcast in terms of just being flexible when studying abroad. Things don't always go according to plan, and sometimes you kind of have to roll with the punches and change your plan as you're going, and just as on the marketing team, we like to say, keep moving forward. But it doesn't always go according to plan. And I think that that is something that I learned studying abroad that has absolutely helped me in my professional roles up until this point. I mean, the last two and a half years, what is time? I don't know. But since the start of the pandemic, whenever that was, like, we have experienced that to new degrees. But even before that, just like planning events or different marketing campaigns, and something changes at the last minute, or something doesn't arrive in time, or something happens. And just being able to roll with it, like still get the job done, be flexible. That was something that I definitely experienced throughout my study abroad experience that has 100% come in handy in my career so far.
Yeah, that's honestly great advice anywhere, being able to adapt and be flexible. What has been the best thing about working as the director of marketing at IP?
Such a great question. There have been so many good things and great memories of working at IP and different projects that we've gotten to do, different events we've hosted. But I think at the root of all of it, my favorite part of my time at IP as a whole has been working with our IP ambassador staff. That was really what I wanted to do. Once I went back to grad school, I was working in more of a communication-centered role, still kind of a higher ed tangent position before I went back to grad school. And I realized that what was missing from that role was people. I was sitting at a computer most of the day. I was doing a lot of like social media, graphic design, web development, and it was great and I loved it, but I didn't have like people interaction on a daily basis. And so I realized that I really wanted to work with students in a higher ed setting. And so becoming the event coordinator and then the director of marketing and getting to retain that IP ambassador staff has been my favorite part of my career. They're just so fun. It's a group of undergraduate students that work in our office. They've all studied abroad, so they have that same excitement and passion for study abroad, and they just want to share it with other people. So they're always enthusiastic and fun and willing to do the work and wanting to do the work and coming up with new ideas. And they really help our office be innovative, having that staff of students who are kind of like in the know or on the pulse of what their peers want to hear or what their peers want to know or what their peers need in order to consider having this experience of studying abroad. So I think that they've really been the best part of my job, getting to work with them and work on their own personal development and their like they're helping them with their career goals and what they want to accomplish during their time in undergrad and beyond, and getting to help them and see them go through that process. I mean, I now have students that are attending graduate school overseas or are working in these really cool jobs that get to where they get to use their experience having studied abroad and their experience at FSU. And now they've taken it to these really awesome jobs, and just getting to see the people that they are becoming it has just been the most fun.
I think one of the best things about working like with students is that you stay on top of trends. I mean, obviously there's such great benefit to working with like people who are directly in our market. Would you say that there's benefit in working with students directly like that?
Oh, absolutely. The students on our staff are way cooler than I could ever hope to be. And I don't know where we would be without them. So just getting their insight. And I mean, we would have just brainstorming meetings sometimes. Like if there wasn't a whole lot to discuss, like work-wise, we would just have brainstorming sessions and like what would be fun? Like, what do y'all think we should do? Like, are there event ideas that you have? Are there giveaway ideas that you have? Are there like questions that you think your peers have but don't know how to ask or don't know where to go for the answers? Like, what are cool and engaging ways that we can share this information? So honestly, like our student staff have had such an impact on IP's marketing overall and just IP's presence on campus. And it wouldn't be the same without them. I mean, obviously we have a really talented staff of full-time professionals, but a lot of that influence comes from the generation that we are marketing to. I think we can admit to ourselves, none of us are Gen Zs, and that's okay. but we really need those students to kind of keep us in the know and keep us with what's cool, which I know sounds so uncool saying, but it's fine. Yeah, so the students really help us kind of stay in what's going on campus. So they definitely are a huge part of IP's marketing.
What are some of the ideas that have come from ambassadors that you've seen like implemented in marketing efforts for IP?
Ooh, good question. So some of the things that they've been a part of, they've really helped with some of our event type, like new ideas for new events. There's one that we've kind of tried a few different ways, and I think it is continuing to evolve and we'll get it right one day. But we've had this idea of around the world with IP and doing different stations for different countries to represent the programs that we have. And a lot of those ideas came from students, like for example, for London, we did kind of like a pub quiz style. And the students wrote the questions for those, came up with the rubric, like they created all of it, just handed it to me and I printed it out. And so getting their insight, because they're the ones that spent a long period of time in each of these study center locations. I'm so grateful for my experience studying abroad, but it was only a week. I didn't really get the same amount of time that a lot of our students spending a whole summer, a whole semester, even 4 weeks is obviously longer than I spent. So they're the ones that are really the subject matter experts. So to get their opinions on how to best represent the study centers or best represent their program, even if it wasn't a study center location, they're really the ones that know those things. Trying to think of other things. I've always liked to get their insight on like if we're changing something. So a little less fun example, but I think it was a really great example of how they have been really helpful is like if for the study abroad fair, we kind of switched up the way that we set up the fair, and they were a huge part of kind of approving that, like saying like, oh, that does make more sense. Like that's easier for me to look at and to like understand having been to the study abroad fair how we hosted it in the past and then seeing my idea for the new one. They were like, absolutely, that makes sense. Let's do that. So just to kind of get their approval or their insight on it is always really helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the ambassadors are such a valuable part of our team. So it's great to hear you talk about it and all the ideas that they have and the trends that they keep us up to speed on and everything.
Oh, yeah. Like their TikTok that they made for the study abroad fair. So fun. And it captured the study abroad fair so perfectly, like the excitement and the enthusiasm. And just to get to see their creativity come out in that way is really fun, too, because you realize they're not just like students. They're not just like student workers. Like they are creative people that want this outlet to like share their passion for study abroad. And so to give them that opportunity through like a TikTok or something like that is just so fun to see what they do with it.
Okay, so shifting a little bit, how would you say that marketing studying abroad changed during the pandemic?
Oh my gosh, how didn't it change during the pandemic? I think there are so many things that we could talk about here, but I think just overall, it kind of goes back to that flexibility thing that I mentioned earlier. We, as a team, realized more than ever, like how flexible we needed to be. There were times when we decided we were going to try something out and we were going to go with it, and we would get 3 quarters into the project, something huge would change, and it's like, well, never mind, that's not going to work anymore. So just the flexibility that it took and the patience that it took, I think, was huge. But for more of like a conceptual, how are we marketing study abroad during a pandemic? There was a time where we didn't have students abroad, and there was a time when we didn't know when we were going to have students abroad again. And so we kind of had to take a step back and what is study abroad? Like, why are we marketing this? Like, if we don't have specific programs to market, what are we marketing? And so it kind of became a running joke that marketing was marketing the idea of study abroad, because we didn't have like actual programs to be marketing. We didn't have dates and deadlines. We didn't have all the normal things that we are sharing with people. But we knew that study abroad was going to return. We didn't know, or we didn't think that this is like the end of study abroad. So we didn't want people to forget about study abroad. Like, it might not be an option right now, but it will be an option soon. Like, we are working to get it back as soon as we can. And now we know we have returned. People are abroad. People have been abroad. So study abroad is back. But it was just kind of this idea of like, what is study abroad, and why do we market what we market? Why do we care about what this industry does? And so we kind of just had to take a step back and think about, what are the benefits of study abroad? How can we talk about kind of this like evergreen idea? Like, what is the essence of study abroad that we can continue to talk about without having specific things to market? So talking about some of those like bigger taglines that we talk about like lifelong friendships and cross-cultural communication and getting to know your professors or your faculty members and getting to see the world, and all of these things were things that we continued to talk about. So those are kind of the big, like the broad subjects that we talked about. But I think one of the coolest things that came out of the pandemic and us kind of needing to reevaluate how we marketed or what we were sharing was this podcast. I mean, this podcast started at the beginning of the pandemic because we didn't have programs to market. We didn't know what to do. And so it was something that we had kind of kicked around for, the idea had come up in a meeting maybe like 2 years prior, something like that. And at the time we were like, we're not going to do that. Like, we don't have the time. We don't know how to do a podcast. Like, it's a cool idea, but that's not going to work. And then the pandemic started and we were like, wait, why don't we try to figure out how to do a podcast? So it kind of gave us the time to step back and learn something new and figure something out. And so this was one of the coolest things that came out of the pandemic. And now that we have students returning abroad, now we get to continue to share those stories of students who are abroad now or who have just returned from being abroad. But also we kind of get to dig back in the archives and talk to alums who studied abroad. And I think the earliest study abroad alums we've had on the podcast were from like the late 60s. Like, how cool is that? We get to share stories of people that studied abroad with FSU in the 60s. That's awesome. And to get to talk to other alums that have done really cool things with their careers that have related to their study abroad experience or not, and they just want to talk about their study abroad experience and how cool it was. That's really awesome too, to get to share those stories and all these different voices and perspectives.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, like you said, through the pandemic, it was important more than ever to like have different areas to voice study abroad or the voice the experience of study abroad. And the podcast has definitely been one of the most fruitful things, getting to have a variety of voices on from all across the world to talk about it has really elevated the marketing landscape of study abroad and IP.
Absolutely. I think it also kind of shows like the longevity of study abroad, because it was like at a time where we didn't have current photo or current videos to share, we had the memories. And I think that the podcast was such a cool way to share those memories, because like for people who studied abroad a while ago, or like, for example, this is like a personal anecdote, but my aunt actually studied abroad with FSU when she went to when she was obviously at FSU. She studied abroad in London as well in the 70s, and she lost all of her photos in a flood. So that's like one of those things where like she doesn't have the physical photos anymore. She doesn't have videos from her time abroad, but she could still share her story. So I think that the podcast is a kind of a cool way to look at that. Like, you might not have those physical memories, or we might not be able to have like video because we didn't have students abroad, but we had plenty of people in our alumni base that had memories to share, and the podcast is just a really cool way to get to do that.
So earlier you talked about how student success is an important part of higher education. And all three of us know, having worked on the marketing team, the effort that goes into creating a study abroad space that is accessible to the diverse student population. So in what ways would you say IP works to support students?
I think there's so many ways that IP works to support students, continues to improve the way we work for students and support students. But I think some of the big ones would be, especially if we're looking at it from like a diverse student population, like wanting to make sure that our spaces are safe and accessible to as many students as possible. That's something that we've really focused on in the last few years, and wanting to improve that and make it known to students that these are things that we care. Like, we are concerned about these things. We want to show you support. We want to make sure you're supported to have the experience of a lifetime that we know study abroad can be. I think that some of those examples would be like our overseas staff going through different types of trainings like Green Dot training and Allies and Safe Zones trainings and things like that, kind of taking these FSU resources abroad, because our study centers abroad are FSU campuses, so they should have access to those same resources. So making sure that our overseas staff has the same training as staff here on Tallahassee's campus has. Things like the diversity inclusion team creating the Mapping Your Identities guide, creating a presentation to share with students here on campus to kind of talk about identity and reflecting on your own identity, understanding others' identities, and how that type of information is obviously useful when you study abroad and you meet people from all over the world with different cultures, different perceptions, different customs, practices, everything. But how that can also be useful on campus in Tallahassee. I mean, Tallahassee has such a diverse student population, and you're likely to run into people who have wildly different beliefs, practices, customs from you, even just on the same campus. So that type of information can be helpful in Tallahassee as well as abroad. Other the ways that IP looks to support students, we're continuing to try to increase our scholarship offerings. So offering financial support to students who might need it, or at least having those opportunities available to students. I just feel like there's so many ways that we're continuing to improve the support for students in those types of ways, but also just the being there for students, I think, is one that FSU has always done really well. I think in Tallahassee, our IP office is always open and welcoming to students. We want you to come ask questions. We want you to get the information that you need. So knowing that staff is there to support you, if you have financial aid questions, if you have application questions, if you have program questions, you don't even know where to start. Like, we want you to come in and ask those questions. We're happy to help you with that. But then also, once you are studying abroad, you have the support of your faculty leader if you're on a curriculum focused program, potentially a PA if you're on one of those programs. If you're at a study center, you have a whole staff of people that are there to support you, whether it's you need academic support, if you need like health support, if you need help finding a doctor or access to a mental health counselor or something like that. Those, we have staff in those locations that are ready, willing, and they just want to help you. They want you to have the best experience. So I think that there's a lot of ways that IP works to support students, and ways that we are always continuing to improve that support system.
Absolutely. Well, the last question, of course, is the question that we ask everyone who comes on this podcast, which is, what advice do you have for students who are considering studying abroad?
I think I just kind of alluded to this in my last answer, so I may have oversold myself there. But my advice is, ask all the questions. Use all of the resources. There is so much information out there, and I understand that sometimes knowing that can be a little overwhelming or you don't know where to start. But you're not going to figure it out unless you just take that first step. You just have to start somewhere. Even if you end up starting maybe that wasn't the first step, at least you figured that out. And now you can go back to the first step. One of the most heartbreaking things for me is when a student walks into the office and they're like, oh yeah, I heard a while ago that y'all have scholarships, but I didn't really know much information. And I'm like, well, the deadline's today. And it's like, if you knew that there were scholarships, why didn't you come in when you found out? Like, ask these questions. So use all the resources. IP has information on our website, on all of our social media accounts. We have, like I mentioned, we have staff members. We have IP ambassadors. There's a contact list for our IP ambassadors on our website. So if you would rather talk to a student first about their experience, do that. They're happy to answer emails. Come into the office. There's always at least one or two ambassadors in the office. So come on in and talk to them there, or talk to a full-time staff member, like I said, about financial aid or admissions or programming, like whatever your questions are, just please come ask them. Send us an email, give us a phone call, come into the office. We want to help you, and we just want to help point you in the direction of whatever assistance it is that you need. So ask all the questions, use all the resources, and of course, study abroad. Have the time of your life.
You hear that, students? We've got your back. IP has got your back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's like the one thing we could tell people. Like, but what the tagline on our t-shirts is, we're here to get you there. Like, we want you to study abroad. That's why we exist. Like, so many of our staff members, I think we've probably mentioned this at some point, but so many of our staff members at IP have studied abroad themselves, whether it was with IP or not. We've studied abroad. We've been abroad. We see the value in it, and that's why we do what we do. So we want you to have that experience too. So come talk to us. We love it. We love to talk to students. That's why we're here. So just ask us questions, please.
Definitely. Well, Hannah, it's been such a pleasure to talk to you today. We're so glad to be able to do this.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. It's so fun to be on this side of the podcast, and it's been so fun to be a part of the podcast and now get to kind of end my podcast career on this side of the mic. So thank you so much for the invitation. It's been really fun.
Thank you.
Hey, everyone. Vanessa here, popping in before the disembark. I just want to say I'm going to miss Hannah so much on this podcast, and I'm glad we got to send her off with an episode of her very own. Anyway, I feel honored to take her place as co-host. So a quick intro about me. I work as the graphic designer for IP, and I also do sound editing on this very podcast. Essentially, I try to make all the audio sound good on your ears. I study abroad in Greece, and if you check out season 3, episode 1 of Knowles Abroad, you can listen to me talk a little bit more about the art and design of IP. Okay, well, thanks for welcoming me on. Back to the disembark.
Before we disembark, we want to talk about season 6 of the podcast. We're excited to be back for another season of the Knowles Abroad podcast. As we're planning this season and beyond, we're always looking for new stories to highlight. If you or someone you know studied abroad with FSU and want to share your experience, we'd love to hear from you.
You can send us an email at ip-media@fsu.edu to learn more about being on the podcast. You can also write for our blog or send us your photos to share on social media. We look forward to hearing from you.
Thanks to Hannah for talking with us today, and thanks to all of you for listening.
This podcast is a production of FSU International Programs. The music for this podcast was composed by John Bartman. Our logo was designed by me, Vanessa Gee Ray. I also do our sound engineering. Editing, transcription, and research is done by us, Vanessa Gee Ray and Zoe Crook.